It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I forgot it was such a short interview. I was like, how does he get so in-depth in such a short time? It's not possible, but you really did.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska. And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Hey, thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the series. Of course, you know what to do if you like what you see, what you hear. I hope you hit that subscribe button. You get three new interviews sent to you every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. And discover those new ones, all the usual spots, including Spotify, Apple Podcast at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of my recent guests have included Liz Phair, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, Susan Tedeschi, Josh Radner from Fleischman Is in Trouble and How I Met Your Mother, Felicia Day, Kristen Hirsch from Throwing Muses. We had Lainey, The Breeders, Baroness, Leve, Andy Taylor of Duran Duran, Tommy Stinson of The Replacements. We also had the filmmakers behind the show Physical, The Morning Show, Michael C. Hall, the actor who also has the band Princess Ghost. Just an example of the type of guests you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, and I am so excited about this, Sarah Silverman. She's got a new comedy album called Someone You Love. Now, this started as a special that can be seen on Max. She did much earlier this year. And now it's on streaming. It's up on streaming. But now the vinyl version is also arriving December 15th via 30 Tigers. So Sarah and I are going to be discussing some of her favorite comedy albums, from the likes of Steve Martin, Brian Regan, and Robin Williams, among others, to loving Broadway cast recordings when she was growing up, as well as her preference, I want to ask, between CDs and vinyl, since we're talking about vinyl anyway. Sarah's also going to get into the songwriting sides of her talents, such as when she wrote a song for Howard Stern that she performed alongside the Chicks' Natalie Maines, the piano ballad Something to Tell You that can be heard at the end of this new special, as well as knowing a mutual friend of ours, the late Scott Hutchison of Frightened Rabbit. Sarah actually performed on the tribute album Tiny Changes. So we're going to talk about Scott, and I want to bring up her podcast, which she tells me is finally returning. It's become such a beacon to fans, not only for the entertainment side, but really for looking for an ear and a shoulder for some help and advice. All that and more as we talk about the new album, Someone You Love. It's Kyle Meredith with Sarah Silverman.
Hello. Where are you?
I'm in Louisville,
Kentucky.
usually when someone says it like that, like they've got a really good story about why they hate the place, or just that they know it exists. That's
usually. Now, I know almost nothing about Kentucky other than Mitch McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
Sturgill Simpson.
Right. Okay. So nice balance there. Well done.
And it's like supposedly has the greatest sun for weed growth.
Yeah. B-Real from Cypress told me this same thing. That's something about the weed here. It's one of his favorites. And that's like Willie telling you that. I mean, B-Real, you know, like he's up there, like he knows what he's talking. I don't know. I'm more of a gummy guy, but I'll take his word on it. So
I'm both. I like it all the forms.
Well, compliments on this new special and this album, Someone You Love. It's hilarious. The stories, even the little moments, and I don't mean to say the threat, like there's a moment where you're just doing a deep voice and you're like, hello, and you're talking about you. Like even those, like it's such a well done special. So just starting out with the compliments.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's just true. You know, coming home and being scared. It's funny how it resonated with people, especially women, just coming home and being like, hello, hello.
But it's interesting. I was thinking about, because what we're talking about, there is a special, but this is the album. And I was thinking about how, especially with comedy specials, with live albums and music and everything else, like most of the time growing up, because pre-YouTube, all of that, like I would hear these before I would ever see the special, if I ever saw this, if the special even existed, you know, right?
Oh, comedy albums.
And the imagination that you sort of have to use to go along with these, like there are some people, I don't even know if you care how this enters someone's world through the album or through the special, like as the artist, like, do you even have the preference?
No, not at all. And I'm expressive with my face, but I think comedy with an album is the best. I mean, so many records I listen to, so many comedy albums I listen to, audio. I mean, like Steve Martin, you know, Comedy Isn't Pretty. I mean, I remember first moving to Los Angeles and driving around with my friend Steve Agee and just listening to Brian Regan CDs, like, oh my God, you know, Robin Williams Live at the Met, you know, Woody Allen double album I grew up with that my mom had, all of that stuff, you know, Albert Brooks Comedy Minus One. Like, it's just, there's something very classic about comedy that's just audio, you know, the comedy album.
Now, did you ever do the flip where you eventually saw the special and it, or the performance, and it looked nothing like what you, like, I was thinking about something you said, like Mitch Hedberg, you know, that was one of those we passed around like in my 20s.
Wow.
You know, and everybody was like, oh, the Mitch Hedberg. And eventually, again, YouTube. And I was like, I just looked it up and it's like nothing like I thought that would have looked, almost, I won't say killed it, but it almost killed a little bit, you know?
Well, I mean, the great thing about audio is it's theater of the mind, you know? And so like your own creativity finishes the circle, you know, of the audio visual thing you're listening to. And yeah, sometimes, like, I remember I always listened to like Broadway show soundtracks in New Hampshire growing up, and I never saw the shows, you know? And then like, I grew up and I saw some of the shows and it was just so different than what I had patched together just from the songs, you know?
And you have to, I don't even know if you do. Like, at some point, your mind has to be okay with that. You have to just forget anything that you had before.
Well, it's like when movies are made of a book, and like the people who love the book are always going to be disappointed because it's not what they imagined.
I do that with live albums a lot too. I've got those favorite live albums, music live albums, you know. It's like Purple Rain, that was, because Purple Rain's sort of a live album. It's sort of an album live album. You know, it's one of those, like eventually seeing that. There was a Counting Crows thing that I used to love. And then you see the room and it's like, oh, it's so much smaller and the audience isn't half as into it as I thought. And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, save 50% on the new Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back. It's Kyle and Meredith with Sarah Silverman.
So you have it out, and it's out on 30 Tigers, which I'm such a fan of those folks out there. And you've done vinyl this time. I think the vinyl's coming out in December. Have you done vinyl before?
I always do a little vinyl, you know. Or I know I did with, I think the last two. Anyway, maybe not Jesus is Magic, but that would have been a good one on vinyl. But minus, like, I'm sure several problematic moments. Yeah, that's always just fun. That's more just almost, that's just for such a few amount of people, but those people care, you know, that it makes it special.
Where are you on the, do you have the people's like, oh, I only prefer vinyl. You know, that's my mode.
Completely respect it. I just personally don't have the equipment. Although my boyfriend was just like, we need a record player. I've bought so many record players over the years, like, and just never, like, unless you really like hook it up to your speakers and everything, there's so many digital ways to listen to records now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like it's probably a cool time, but you need a little space, you know.
I'll tell you, I'll say the thing that's not cool to say these days, and I still prefer CDs. I have lots of records. I have lots of CDs. We were just talking about, because I work at a radio station also full time, and so it's just a bunch of music nerds around here, and we were just having that conversation. Like, for all of the coolness of vinyl, and it is, there's something about a relationship I still have with a CD. I don't know what that is, but.
Yeah, it's probably your age and when CDs came out and what the age you were when that was and how it hit you and how you experienced music from that point would be my guess. But I mean, yeah, CDs technically sound perfect, right? I mean, I think people like vinyl because they like the cracks and they like the imperfections and stuff like that, you know, like it's because that's when they first were like hearts exploded from music.
So what's your story? What's your backstory on the music? Because comedy, yes, but music has always been a big part of it. In fact, I'm not sure why you're not usually introduced as, you know, comedian, actor, musician, because I feel like the musician part is just as important with you.
I'm an excellent musician and singer for a comedian, but a not good enough singer and musician for a singer musician.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, they're funny songs. Do you ever write serious songs?
Yeah, I've written a couple serious songs and, you know, they're best just kept inside my head or like on my phone because nobody wants to hear a comedian's like heartfelt song. Just nobody does. Give me one example.
You know, it changed, but looking back, you did the song with Natalie Maines for Howard.
Yes.
And that starts as a serious, like that starts as a heartfelt. And of course, we were all expecting for that to change and you lived up to that. And but that's like one of those moments, like that's a good song.
Well, like big Howard fans, like it made some people, you know, it did actually move some people even, but yeah, it's a silly comedy song, but it was so fun to write. And I had written it and then Gary Delabate was like, do you mind if Natalie Maines sings it with you? And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, and I texted her the song and then I drove to her house. And by the time I got to her house, she had like the most incredible harmony line and like just made it a billion times, you know, into a real song. So it was so fun.
Yeah, it's actually fun watching her like her doing the comedy side, which she's good at that too. You know, I think.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember what it was, but she added, she changed a line that made it so much funnier.
So, I mean, what was it like, even as jokes, because you can play, you play piano, I play guitar, right? Piano, guitar, is that right?
I'm just learning piano, which is the song at the end. I wrote on piano, and then a really good pianist ended up playing it. Mark Rivers, who produced it, helped me write it. But so that's just, you know, I just was like, well, I know chords on the guitar and I have a piano. And I was like, I think it's just like a C chord. And then like, I know where C is, like, you know, so I can pluck out stuff.
When did all that start happening? That's what I was getting to. Like, sure, you've told your comedy story, I'm sure, but when did the songwriting enter your world? Is there like a hard spot for that?
Well, when I started doing stand-up, you know, in my teens, and then my friend Mark Cohen was a guitar act, plays the guitar, and he started teaching me chords and stuff, and when I was like 20, and you know, you only need to know a few chords to start writing songs. So
there are bands that made entire careers out of just those few chords right there.
Brilliant ones.
Absolutely. Well, the song you're talking about, Something to Tell You, is a great moment at the end of this special. And the orchestra, great. But when the kids' choir comes in, do you have to explain to their parents what's going on? Like, who signs off on that?
Well, if you saw the movie Bruno, you would see that parents will sign off on almost anything. Their kids are going to be on TV. But, you know, it was very sweet. They didn't have anything. I don't think they had any, like, swears or anything to say. I don't think. Yeah, we you know, it's a fairly innocuous song. I mean, you know.
Reminded me of some more of my traumatic moments growing up.
Well, I have a terrible misophonia, so to be able to have a line in there saying like this, I can't remember how it goes, but just when I'm talking about the sound of someone biting into an apple in a quiet car makes me want to fucking die. Yeah, that's poor being.
Yeah, like I had in high school, there was a girl who broke up with me for having bad breath. Well, please don't cry for me. It was a good lesson learned that day.
Probably did you a huge favor, ultimately. You probably have the cleanest breath in the world now.
I'm a better brusher, you know. But, you know, thanks to some undiagnosed IBS issues at the time, I like lots of lessons learned around that time. So a song like this, it's an anthem, whether you mean it for it to be or not. It's an anthem.
Right. You got to take care of your gut health and you have to floss.
All the above. No, thank you. So thank you from all of us out here. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle and Meredith with Sarah Silverman. I was just looking at some of the stuff you'd done too, musically. We both knew Scott Hutchison, and you sang on the tribute album because you did. You helped on My Backwards Walk. How did you know Scott? I mean, sure, Scott knew everyone. I guess I think everyone knew Scott.
I just knew him because I was a fan. I loved Frightened Rabbit, who my friend Harris Whittles turned me on to. And so I had him, he was in LA. So he was in LA a bunch, I guess LA and Scotland, you know. And so I had him on my Largo show. I have a monthly show at Largo out here. And he came on it, and we also just bonded about depression and managing depression. And he had helped me, you know, kind of get out of a downward spiral. And I know we always think that we could stop it. And I really do. I really do, though. You know, he sent out a flare on Twitter, and I didn't see it in time.
Yeah, no, that was a rough time. And have you heard Frank Turner's tribute to him?
No.
A Wave Across a Bay? Because they were close too, Frank. And yeah, it's one of the, when I heard it, I didn't know that it existed. I was listening to his album and he got a few lines into it and he hit me. I was like, is he singing about Scott? Because the first line is, I dreamed of Scott last night. And by the time the song was done, I was in like absolute tears, and it's an incredible song.
I just queued it up. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So knowing that you're a friend and a fan.
Oh God. It's just, his music has such different meaning now, and sometimes it's just too hard to listen to, but I love it so much.
Well, you tackle a lot of that, as you're saying, depression and everything on the podcast too, which is the podcast on a break? Is it just paused or?
It's coming back October 17th, I want to say, on Lemonada. But it will be back.
I mean, you've done so much good for people through that, but that's like, I mean, that's obviously a different lane that you get to take. It feels. Yeah. Now, is that just something that did, I don't know, because you have comedy, maybe you're like, I want to do something else. How did it develop that way?
I didn't plan it to be this way. The pandemic hit and I couldn't do stand up, and I was like, I give in. I'll do a podcast, you know. Cuz it was really jarring and scary to not have stand up, you know. So I got a podcast, and I knew I didn't want to have guests because I am so happy to be on your show and to go on different people's shows, but it is like a fear of mine to have to ask friends to do my podcast. I just can't. And I'm also not interested in interviewing celebrities or I don't know, you know. I wanted to talk to people. I wanted to, you know, so I just wanted to do a call-in show, and the calls just become the trajectory of the show, and that is what has happened. But the trajectory of the show went in a very different way than I thought. You know, and I really love it. I you know, I sometimes listen back and I'm so embarrassed at the gall I have to like be, I'm in no place to, you know, I mean, armchair expert was taken for a title and I didn't know it would go that way. But, you know, I try to be very upfront and just like, I'm talking fully out of my ass right now, but this is what I think, or, you know, I don't know the answer to this, or my take is this. But it's really been exciting for me to put my brain power on stuff that matters like this, just stuff that every person is going through, or any person might be going through. And the variety of people that call in just totally shocked me. Also, just because I'm an idiot, and it didn't occur to me that people outside of America or outside of this country could hear, but it's from all over the world, every part of this country. And I really love the places it goes, you know.
And there's something about, like, of course your fans know you, you know. It's like when you're famous, when you're famous to any degree, it's almost like the bartender thing, like how you can just saddle up to the bar and talk to this complete stranger about anything.
It's people even on the street, people tell me very intimate details, you know. I think there's something about comedians too, where, you know, if you were in a restaurant and you saw like Nicole Kidman, you'd be like, oh my God, that's Nicole Kidman. But I think with me or with comics in general, it just feels like you know them, you know, so like Sarah, you know, or whoever you are, you know. I think we're more like people that people feel like they know you, you know, they're already comfortable.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the hands of the wrong person, who knows what could happen. But, and I say that in the most complimentary way, because your response is honest where you're coming from, but it's done in a heartfelt and personal way. And I think, you know, the fact that I always feel like you're trying to find how you relate to it so you can help in that way. Like, anyway, it's just, I'm so happy to hear that it's coming back, because I really do enjoy hearing it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to, yeah, never mind. Scrap that. Cancel.
No, it's great. I mean, I don't have any of the problems that you all are talking about. It's all foreign to me. I'm fine and perfect. So it's just, it's more of trying to figure out what the hell is wrong with everyone else. But no, kidding, obviously. It's great. This special also is hilarious. I mean that someone you love and everything you're doing. I've been such a fan for a long time, so I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for taking the time to talk about it.
It's awesome to talk to you. Thank you so much.
And my thanks to Sarah Silverman. The new album is called Someone You Love. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out this this episode. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the entire interview series. You get new interviews sent to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual spots like Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You get the best in new music. I do lots of music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews as well. One of my recent episodes had the music of Eurythmics and Morrissey, Death Cab for Cutie, The Pixies, Slater Kinney, King Kong, The Foo Fighters, Michelle Andeggiocello, Supreme Beings of Leisure, Tori Amos, Soul Coughing, Sufjan Stevens, Michael Kiwanuka, Minnie Riperton, The B-52s, MC5, Queens of the Stone Age, Mitski, Soccer Mommy, and my interview with Tommy Stinson of The Replacements. Just an example of what you get every weeknight, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social medias. It's always the same, the address, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Thank you, Kyle.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.